Welcome to PSO in the Know, the podcast series that puts a spotlight on the impact of psoriasis. Together, and one PSO story at a time, we'll let people with psoriasis know they're not alone and encourage them to speak up and seek the help they deserve. I'm Cindy Lauper, and I was diagnosed with psoriasis in 2010. As a performer, this chronic condition took an immense toll on me when I was working, and I used my passion for fashion to hide my flare-ups. I met with several doctors and tried various treatments, but my symptoms just kept coming back. After working with my doctor, I discovered a treatment that works for me, and I got back to performing live again, which was pretty tough when my psoriasis was at its worst. I believe it's time to lift the curtain on psoriasis and set the stage for change. My guest today is Sienna Ray, an actor, writer, musician, and psoriasis patient advocate. While in high school in 2008, she landed her first television role on the MTV series, The Hard Times of R.J. Berger, and then in 2010, booked her first leading role in a feature film. Recently, her work as a social media advocate for psoriasis sufferers became widely recognized online, and she has been profiled in People, Glamour, Cosmopolitan, and included in Elle Magazine's 13 Inspiring Women Who Do Not Let Their Chronic Illness Define Them. She is currently producing a documentary series about what it means to live with a chronic illness. Sienna, how the heck are you?
Hi, Cindy. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
Good.
So you're an LA gal, right?
I am.
You grew up in the business because that's part of LA.
It's true. Yes. I started acting, I think, when I was about 14. Yeah. But I didn't actually have any family in the business. It was kind of, I was the first one. So,
wow.
Yeah. But I'm from LA. I'm from the Valley.
Okay, that's so. So how many generations from the Valley?
Three generations. So I'm a Valley girl through and through.
Okay.
It's so funny because sometimes I do meet people and they're like, "Where's your accent from? What is that accent?" I'm like, "I have an accent. I have no idea. I don't have an accent. I guess a California accent."
But I think accents, are what makes our country, you know, interesting and exciting for me because, and probably for you because you're an actor. And as you, I mean, you're more than an actor. I'll say it again. I watched your little art film called Lapis about three times, and I was very moved by it. And I felt you were talking about your psoriasis. Yes.
I think it's such a big part of my life. And so, I'm so happy you saw that. It's funny. You put things out on the internet and you don't know who's watching. And I think that was definitely what that was about. It was about, you know, introspection and being by myself and thinking about, you know, what it means to kind of live this life and with a chronic illness and you know, still try to do all the things that you want to do and find the beauty in it. So
once I saw, I mean, the stuff you did on MTV but the Lapis thing and the fact that we're speaking about psoriasis, I found to be very moving. And I was reading what you were speaking about having the chills and, you know, when your skin is that inflamed, and this is an inflammatory thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was going through that a lot. So I eventually met Novartis, which the people from Novartis really helped me. I at first did not want to deal with any medicines or anything. Because I had that bad experience. And then through them, I met other patients for the National Psoriasis Foundation And, you know, it's different, Sienna, when you meet other people who have the same thing. And I found a doctor who just specialized in psoriasis. And I always say that, like, did you ever find someone who just specializes and studies psoriasis?
There's a bunch of different kinds. And not only that, you know, dermatologists do so many different things. And yeah. They're trained, you know, to kind of learn about an umbrella of different, you know, different things. And so, I mean, that was definitely something I struggled with in the beginning. You know, getting my diagnosis took, you know, almost 6 years. I mean, I was, you know, first started having symptoms when I was 4. And then I, you know, my parents took me from doctor to doctor to doctor. I went to Children's Hospital. I went to at least five different dermatologists, you know, and then finally settled on somebody who, you know, helped me, but they weren't even a specialist.
Sienna, I will help you out on that one. And this is the problem, is that a lot of times when you go to the doctor, first of all, if you don't write your questions down before you get in there,
right?
Well, I would always leave going, what the heck just happened? I'm so confused.
Exactly.
There's a lot of options. When you go see a doctor, you got to say, doctor, what are my options? And I didn't do any of that until I was in England and I was isolated. I called this guy and he said, Sin, it's 2015. And it took me 5 years, you know, to actually step up and research what I could, because I can't live like that anymore.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're touching on so many things. I'm just relating so much to everything you're saying. I think for me, because I've had it my whole life, there was a long period of time, probably about over 10 years, where I was just kind of listening to, you know, advice from people. And I kind of took a back seat because I was just living with this chronic thing. And you get really good at kind of ignoring it and you get good at hiding it. And, you know, you're used to suffering from it. And so I wasn't really being active and advocating for myself and speaking up and researching until I was in college and I had like the worst flare up that I've ever had and I had to go to the ER. And so when I did that, it was so eye-opening because they had no idea what to do with me. They didn't know, you know, here I am going to the emergency room because I'm like, okay,
exactly.
This is so bad that I can't even function. Mm-hmm. And they basically had to call my doctor from back home because I was in college, away at college up in the Bay Area, and, you know, eventually figured it out. But it was eye-opening because they gave me some, you know, an IV drip and said I was dehydrated and basically sent me home and didn't really know what to do with for me, you know?
Or a little tube. Wait, a little tube, and it's your whole body. And you have this little tube. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sienna, I was told, oh, my boyfriend had it, so he used not mineral oil, cod liver oil and saran wrap. You ever wrap yourself in cod liver oil and saran wrap? It's like my husband, now he could do a comedy routine.
I think all of our partners have a story to tell about this.
The problem is it doesn't go away.
Right.
I'm just taking a minute here to talk to you like this because I don't think anybody has to suffer like that.
Yeah.
When it's 2020, there are so many options.
It's so important to figure out what works for you. I've definitely noticed, you know, what things are my triggers, and I've done a lot of, you know, now I am an advocate and now I do speak up and now I do, you know, do my own research. And so I have definitely found things that make it more manageable for me. They ended up putting me on a medication that, you know, gave me zero symptoms for most of, you know, my high school into college. And I ended up going off the medication. And so that was kind of like my choice, you know, and then it came back worse than it ever was after that. But now I've, you know, found ways to manage it and pretty much on my own. And I think that it's so important to, you know, do your research and, you know, take advice, but don't, you can drive yourself crazy, you know, listening to everybody who's telling you, try this, I have something that's going to work for you. So I think it's just so important to kind of speak up for yourself and ask those questions and do research and, you know, find what works for you personally.
Now, when you're a fit model and you're flaring, well, how the heck do you deal with that?
Well, that's a new challenge because, for a long time, I never had any flares. I was on a medication. And then I just recently, really in the last 4 years, started fit modeling. So for people who don't know, it's I work with clothing production companies and I work with directly with the designers to try on the clothing and make sure that it fits correctly and that it's comfortable. That's been a tough one. Luckily, I've had an honest conversation with my agent and just told her, you know, sometimes if you have castings, I may be flaring. And if I feel up to it, I'll go. But it's not necessarily something that you really want to be doing while you're flaring because it's really uncomfortable. I mean, sometimes I try on, you know, 50 things a day. And so,
yeah,
just doing that alone can be really uncomfortable.
That makes you tight.
On my skin. Yeah. but other than that, because it's visible, you know, so you don't know. You don't know how, you know, new brands are going to kind of take it, if they're going to be open to it and knowing that I have this chronic thing. So sometimes I'll, you know, skip a casting or miss a casting and, you know, it's uncomfortable. Or sometimes I'll show up and I'll have to kind of explain myself. And either they're, you know, open and willing to work with me or they're not. And, you know, you kind of have to just take it as it comes and have a thick skin about it. I think, you know, on the surface, people don't quite understand all of the ways that it affects you. I mean, for some reason, the way we think about, you know, skin issues or disorders is like, it's okay, it's a rash, you know, it's a rash and it'll go away.
Gosh,
we think
yeah.
it's temporary. We think it's minor. We think you put some lotion on it and it's fine, you know, and as you know, as well as I do, it's just not the case.
You're seeing it on your skin, but it's inside.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, there's a lot of comorbidities and, you know, all kinds of other things that that go along with it. So, yeah, I think like medication is important. I also was diagnosed when I was younger with psoriatic arthritis.
Yeah, it sucks. But when I first met all those patients at the National Psoriasis Foundation little meeting, first of all, mm-hmm. I didn't feel alone. And I would like to say to anyone listening, yeah. there are 8 million of us, I believe, in this country that have psoriasis.
Yeah.
It's
And man, is that yeah, important.
That's that big. Important You're too. Not alone.
Yeah.
And yeah. Also from Melissa, when I first met her, she said, you know, she was a ballerina and people wouldn't lift her. You know, they wouldn't lift her because she was flaring and they didn't even,
yeah.
and she wanted me to always say it's not contagious because people like, mm-hmm. like say you get your nails done and it's on your hands.
I had it on my nails also.
Oh my gosh.
Did you ever have that? I had, so when I first started getting it, all my nails uh-huh. fell off and my toenails. And so, you know, it's funny. It's like, you know, I was in karate when I was a kid and I like had to be barefoot, you know, and I was so like horribly embarrassed that like I didn't have toenails or they looked the way that they did, you know, that I would like curl my toes. And I developed like, you know, issues from that because I would stand in a specific way that messed up, you know, my hips and my spine. I mean, it's just crazy. It's crazy all of the things that, you know, you do to like compensate or to hide or to, and so that's part of why I do the advocacy work, that and what you were talking about, you know, so that people don't know that they're alone. I mean, and it's crazy that we still think that, like you said, in 2020, there are people who are now, you know, getting it. And thankfully, you know, for people like you and people who, you know, come out
and
talk about it, it's definitely, yeah. I mean, it's definitely helping to raise awareness. And so, you know, hopefully less people feel alone. But I just think that is the most important element of all of this for me, because I definitely, you know, you have support from, you know, your friends and loved ones, or you hope that you do, but they don't quite understand it. You know, they may have empathy, they may have sympathy towards you, but they don't quite get it. And so it's so easy to feel like, you know, no one understands. If even the people closest to me don't, then how, you know,
And so I think that that's so important. And social media has been amazing for me.
How has it affected your work? Well, when you were an actor, did it ever flare on your MTV series?
So on the show, I actually was on a biologic. The timing of it was just great because I really felt like my most confident. I felt like my most energetic. I didn't have many symptoms at all. I maybe had some minor dry skin here and there. And it's funny, I tell this story because one of the makeup artists used to call me dry brows because when she would brush my eyebrows, I had like dry, flaky skin underneath. And I would laugh to myself because I was like, oh boy, if only she knew. You know, I was like, I thought that was hilarious because I was like, well, that's the only thing that, you know, that they can see.
I took a biologic and I do. And I'm grateful. That's the only way that I would do it. And I just think from the people that I've met through, you know, through the company, that they didn't give up. And that's the one thing when I see you still, you know, struggling and understanding it, they didn't give up. And
yeah,
and that's what you have to stick with. You have to always, you know, try and be your own advocate, research, you know. And I'm telling you all this stuff because I don't want to see you suffer because you're so smart. And I saw your Lapis video and I thought, you know, it was really deep. And, you know, I know you want to be a director or you are starting to direct. It says here, too, that you're doing voiceovers. You know, which I love voiceovers. Yeah. I like cartoons.
It's so much fun. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a lot that I'm interested in that I've just kind of dipped my toes in that I'm starting to do. And, you know, I think it's taken me a long time because I think I was kind of the amount that I struggled with my health and my psoriasis in college. It felt like I have to take the next, you know, 4 or 5 years or however long it takes to really just focus on my health and figure this out. And that's kind of how long it's been. And you know, I now talk to people on social media about like, don't wait, you know, don't wait until you feel better. Don't wait until there's going to be some time in the future where you think you're going to be healed or you think, you know, I'll feel better when I, you know, when. And I did that. And I think that that is so important to kind of, like you're saying, find something that works for you, give yourself the time and energy and effort that you deserve, find a doctor, find whatever makes sense to you, sure, to be, you know, as healthy as you can. But then in the meantime, you know, still do the things that make you feel good and don't focus all of your time and energy on, you know, your illness and do the things that you're passionate about because you could spend your whole life waiting, to feel better.
For me, being covered from head to toe with it, I couldn't deal with it. I couldn't, you know, it took my strength. It took my voice. I could always sing on a dime, you know, like, okay, high note, boom, loud, boom, soft, boom. You know, and all of a sudden my physical strength was like, oh my God, weakened. And I just wasn't used to that at all. So I want to be strong.
It's scary. Yeah.
I know it's scary, but I don't want to go through it. Well, you talked about your challenges, you know, what I started to tell you with not only when you, if you do take medicine, you still have to use a cream that your skin responds to keep it moisturized, especially your arms and legs,
right?
And your face.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have it on my face forever, and then like I told you, that flare that I had in college, it started. That was like,
did all you just go cold turkey from the medicine?
Oh my God! That's why. Yes.
You have to do it with a doctor, maybe. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Well, I started also getting what you got. I mean, my skin started thinning as well. And then I started getting all these like open wounds everywhere. And it was just, you know, it's it's not pleasant. and like you said, if you're at that point, then, you know, obviously you've got to, there's, get help. You know, there's definitely so many things that are out there.
Yeah, you could
now
wind up with something else, which really sucked.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess you got fed up, so you started posting pictures of yourself.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was really that moment when I went to the ER and they didn't know what to do with me. And I thought, wow, I'm in this place where, you know, you go when you have a medical emergency and they don't have any idea what to do with someone with psoriasis. And so at that point I was like, you know, the medications I was on, I tried a lot of different medications at that point and they weren't working for me. And so, you know, I just felt like I have to stand up for myself and I have to spend more of my time and energy and effort on finding something that works for me. And I think that the advocating, you know, came along with that because I felt like I was at a point, I had to leave school, you know, I had to finish that semester at home. And, you know, and I just felt like, I also felt like, I guess, people didn't quite understand the severity of it. You know, I felt like my professors didn't really understand, you know, why I had to leave, or my friends. And I just felt like there's no way that I'm the only one who's dealing with
and
this.
And I think it's great to advocate, you know, be an advocate and say, okay, this is my disease. I will not let it define me. But you also right. want to get better. And there are many things to get better now. You know, you don't need to suffer. That's why I'm doing this. I'm banging the drum because, yeah. you know, not everything, what I do is not going to work for other people because we're all so different. And this is a very unique illness that it affects everyone differently. You know, what are your tips right. when things are going and you know you have a job, what do you do?
So, I mean, one of the things that I started doing really was just talking about it and opening up about when I need help. You know, I used to never, ever ask for help. I used to hide everything, all of my struggles. And, you know, as a result of that, I think my family and friends just saw me as this like strong person who didn't need help. If only they knew how much I was like struggling and how tired I was. So I think that really finishing school and getting into the, you know, back into working, it's really helped me to just be open and honest about, you know, what I'm experiencing and asking for help if I need it. Speaking up and saying, you know, actually, can you maybe use a different makeup that I already know, you know, feels okay on my skin? Or can you, you know, I was so shy about those kinds of things before. And really it's simple, you know, if they're not going to do it or they can say no and it's fine, but at least I will have asked, you know. And I think speaking up was huge for me. It was something that I never used to do before, and it makes a big difference.
Well, there's
for
a
me
lot
now.
Of, yeah, there's a lot of shame. I felt dirty. I felt like my skin.
Oh no, I feel the same way.
I was
way.
Dirty. Yeah. And it's yeah. not dirt. It's just your skin no. overacting. It's like it's trying right. to regenerate. Your skin always regenerates, but your skin goes like, okay, let's just do it 10 times faster. You know?
10 times faster.
It's like, ouch.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I'm glad that you say that because, yeah, I mean, that's definitely something I've felt. Like you feel, it's hard to explain the feeling of it, but you feel dirty. I mean, growing up with it since I was a kid, I mean, you know that you're different and you have a visible difference. And so people are going to look at it in a certain way and react to it a certain way. And so it's hard to not feel those things, you know, that's been your lived experience. And so, and also just the feeling of it. I mean, we can get into it. I don't know how much we're going to talk about it, but you know, in my bed, I have like dead
Holy
skin
cow,
in my bed.
Right?
That's the
and
worst. That is the absolute
right?
worst thing.
Don't scratch.
Ever.
How about the don't scratch thing? And you yeah. sleep. You know, my husband.
Oh, it's horrible.
I'd be like, I'm gonna sleep on this corner of the bed and just slip out. And you know, thank God, I had Harvey Fierstein kept calling me about I was writing Kinky Boots too. It was that one job too many I took where this it just exploded. Yeah. And it's a stress related yeah. thing too. You know, so yes. you know, big time. You're doing all this stuff and you're gonna start doing you did a voiceover for a new Marvel Comics on Hulu. That yes. was easier, right? No makeup.
I mean, yeah, talk about, yeah, I mean, you show up in sweats and whatever comfortable t-shirt you want to wear and you go in and you just you get to be creative and do all the things that you do, but you don't have to be seen. And so that was a very, you know, new experience for me and I loved it. I mean, it was so much fun and yeah, I don't have to get the hair and makeup, you know, for an hour and I don't have to wear the costume that's potentially irritating to me and you know, and so it's nice to have that kind of agency. I think when you're an actor, you show up and a lot of things are, you know, up to other people. And so it was cool for me to be able to really stay in my comfort zone as far as what I was wearing and what I had on my skin and that it didn't matter. And I still got to act and I still got to, you know, be creative in that way. So that was really cool. I think I'll definitely be doing more of
and
that.
And, you know, When I was, you know, because it's always you're in the public eye, so it's kind of great when you're not in the public mm-hmm. eye. I was lucky to have a stylist who would find really soft material, even pajamas, even the sheets. It just everything was irritating, and I took so many baths.
Yeah. Oh God. But live in
know,
the bath.
You're now currently producing a documentary series on what it's like. And what it means to live with a chronic illness, you know. And so you want to talk yes. about that a little because that is really exciting because you're getting to use all your abilities. It's amazing. You're only 27. You're at the beginning, even though it feels like you've been doing something for 10 years or longer, you know, 15 years. But you
yeah.
are at the beginning. You were stepping off a platform and now you're doing this documentary series. There are many chronic illnesses and many people who bravely go through it who can inspire other people to advocate for themselves, which it's hard.
Right. You don't get to hear, you know, the patient experience. You go into the doctor's office and you kind of talk about, okay, what are we going to do to, you know, in medical terms, how are we going to fix this? And more often than not, I found most of the people that I speak to get so much and gain so much more about speaking to, you know, from speaking to other people with the same ailments as them and learning from the experience of how is it really affecting you on a daily basis? What are the things that you wish your doctor knew about your condition that they don't know?
Don't you ever say find a new doctor that specializes in what you have instead of going to someone and having that same frustrating experience just because that one doctor is like that. Doctors are all different and
oh, for sure.
specialties
yeah.
are different.
I mean, definitely I think that's like the first step. Find somebody that makes sense, you know, to you, that makes you feel good, that makes you feel taken care of. But I still think that there's this – I wish patients could be in conversation – with doctors in a setting that is not a doctor's office, if that makes any sense.
No, they don't go home visits anymore.
I wish it could be more personal, you know, and not, you know, yeah. 15 minutes of medical, you know, jargon.
Well, you know, do you ever tell them to, like I always say, that sounds really great, but now can you say it in English, in layman terms? Because
right.
I haven't got a clue about what you said.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's obviously like helpful. I think that, you know, the reason that I like to talk to patients and patient advocates is because I have now learned from my own experience of not speaking up. You know, forever I just thought I was intimidated. I was intimidated by these older men who were like, you know, trained, who were kind of talking to me as if I didn't really know anything, you know, about my own body. And so I would just kind of smile and nod and do whatever they told me to do, you know, and maybe that's a me thing, but I think that it's helpful to talk to people about, you know, speaking up in the doctor's office, like you said, having a list of questions, having some agency about your own health and being able to push for those conversations. And really, I think the docuseries was kind of born out of having spoken to people on social media, mainly on Instagram, and then meeting them in real life and having the most amazing conversations, you know, with people who are dealing with what I was dealing with for the first time. And I found myself wishing I had kind of recorded those so that other people could experience, you know, being able to relate to those conversations. And so
so how will you do that? Will you bring a camera crew and just set up?
Yeah. So very small, just me, sound and camera. And I've talked to a few people. I'm trying to diversify it. So I have a chef who has a totally different experience, you know, than a dancer. I have a friend who's a dancer who I've already spoken to. And I'm trying to get people from different, you know, walks of life with different experiences and to kind of, you know, capture what they've been through and how it's affected them in their life and their career. And
it's kind of like what we're doing here, but as a podcast.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, I think that this is an interesting way to go. And in the end, you have to make people feel hopeful. The one thing I got from all the people I spoke to and all the stories was that they never gave up hope. And yeah, so you got to give the people hope no matter what, when you do this, Sienna, you got to make them understand that they can figure out how to live with this and not have it overtake them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal. I think the goal is that the more people that talk openly about it, the more people are able to relate to it, the more people feel less alone. And and that there are options and that there is, like you said, there is hope. And we are luckily in an environment now where it's very different from when I was a kid, you know, and when I was first starting to try to, you know, deal with all of this and I had so few options. It's amazing, you know, what's available now. I never actually thought that I would kind of see the day when there was, you know, every other commercial on television is for a psoriasis medication. I didn't expect that to be the case. And so
I feel hopeful. Well, there's 8 million people with it. So why not? I think we have other circumstances now, like we're in quarantine. How's that affected you?
I mean, the quarantine question, I guess I just, I've had a lot of flare-ups in the last 4 months, but luckily I've been able to kind of write, you know, even if I'm in bed, you know, sick in bed, I can write. And that's been really, really such a great outlet for me. I've also started cooking like I never cook. And I've started experimenting
with
in the kitchen a little
bit. Does not trigger, right? One thing Melissa told me was stay away from any hot spice because that is a trigger.
Yes.
And somebody else told me don't eat eggs, you know. It's an interesting, you know, journey to figure out.
The spice too makes me so
what
itchy.
What advice would you give your younger self?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think I would tell myself to have a little bit more grace and acceptance, I guess, because I think when I was in high school, when I was, you know, growing up with psoriasis, I wanted so badly to pretend that it didn't exist. And I did everything I could to hide it, as opposed to really trying to help myself through it.
But how could you help yourself through it if you're just a kid?
Yeah, I mean, even in high school, you know, when I was, you know, in my teens, I think, like, I would have liked to tell myself to basically advocate for myself and speak up and do more research and, you know, have a little bit more grace, I think, with myself. I think I had a lot of pressure. I put a lot of pressure on myself to work as much as I could and, you know, in college, that kind of, you know, I would run myself into the ground, you know, and then I'd have to start all over. And I would take on jobs and take on jobs because I was used to being able to work from the period of my of time when I didn't have
and
any.
It's hard for a kid to get help. But through your work and through what we're doing here, maybe we can actually tell people, please get help. Don't sit. You know, yeah. I used to think, okay, it's a stress thing, so I'll stay in bed. And I would stay in bed mm-hmm. and wake up and I was covered. And then I was really freaked out. And then my husband would walk in and go, look mm-hmm. at you. You can't be like that. I am so proud of you for your work, for your advocacy, and the fact that the whole your whole future, the door is opening, and you will be doing this documentary series on people with courage, and it gives other people courage, you know? So I wish you
Thank
luck,
you.
And
Thanks,
you're such
Cindy.
A bright, talented young person. I'm so excited to be talking to you.
I have to throw it back to you because you're one of the first people, you know, in the public eye that I've seen that is so, you know, passionate about advocating and speaking up. And it has done so much, whether you realize it or not, you know, for so many people. So I appreciate that. And you've inspired me to speak up as well. So it's so cool that I've gotten to speak with you here and gotten to meet you. So
well,
I'm very thankful.
Let's pass on the baton. Let's do it. Let's make a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much, Cindy. I'm so appreciative to have the knowledge and the privilege of
you
being able
care,
to do
Sienna.
That. Thank you. You too, Cindy.
Thank
so
you.
Nice meeting you.
Thank you for joining us today on PSO in the Know, sponsored by Novartis. You can listen to more episodes at psointheknow.com.